Good morning.
Good morning.
I did not hear you.
Good morning.
Okay. I'm really excited about this morning. I will give you a little bit of a warning. This message stepped on my toes. It's going to step on our toes. It's going to make us uncomfortable. And that's okay. It's a good thing, as long as it's from the Lord, right? As long as it's Him. This message is not to shame anyone. It's not to make us feel guilty. It's none of that. It's a not look back and look forward message. So praise the Lord for that. The message, it's very interesting. I don't usually put a title on my messages. But this message does have a title, and it's Lord, Stamp Eternity on My Eyes. And so with that, let's pray. Lord, from this moment forward, would you give us a fresh set of perspective on why we're here, on where we're going, and why we're going there. Lord, would you open up our understanding . Would you take away all that distracts us, everything that's happened this week, everything that's happening in the week ahead, Lord, would you just allow those things to fall away right now? That we would not think on those things, but we would think on you. Think on the way you think about things. That we would gain your perspective. Lord, I'm the one speaking here, but Lord, I don't want it to be me. None of us need to hear what I have to say. What I have to say means nothing. But what you have to say, what's on your mind, changes everything. It's power. It's that same power that rose Jesus from the dead. And Lord, that's what we desperately need. And that is what we ask for this morning. That Lord, at the end of this, as we contemplate what we hear this morning, Lord, it would cause us to look up and gaze upon the Son of God who died and rose again and is coming back. And Lord, that we would not lose that gaze. That He would be the one reason why we live and have our being. And we would see all the things that happen in this world and in this life through that lens. Lord, help us to be like the psalmist. He says, "One thing I desire, and that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And so many times we look at our homes that we live in and we are so comfortable and we've planted ourselves, and that is not what you've called us to do. You've not called us to plant ourselves in this world. You have not done that. You told us to be pilgrims. You told us to live like we have nothing here, that we are looking for a homeland whose maker and builder is God. And I desperately desire that you would do that work in me. And Lord, I pray that you would do that work, and it would not be out of guilt. It wouldn't be out of my own power, Lord, but it would be you working through your people and us surrendering to your work. And we're just so thankful, Lord, that we can trust you, that you're trustworthy. There's so many voices out there. Help us to tune those out and tune into what you have to say, Lord. Prepare our hearts, Lord, not just to hear what what is said today, but to take it from you, Lord. And as Dallas always says, whatever you don't want me to speak, Lord, would you just make that fall away, that I would forget it? And anything that you want to speak, Lord, would that just resonate in our hearts? And we pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So Philippians 3, 7 through 21, we're going to go through a lot of passages. We're just going to see what the Lord has in his word. And as we read these, let's just see what the Lord has for us. Let's just see, not what we think. Let's just put away all our presupposed notions about what this life is all about. Let's just see what he has. And let's just surrender to that today. I'm going to start out first before we even start. When's the last time we just meditated on our destination? What is our destination? Is our destination the college we're going to next? Is our destination retirement? Is our destination our next vacation? What is our destination? Like where, what is that one thing that we focus on and look for? Depending on the day, maybe it's different. But I submit to you that God wants us to have one destination in mind through our whole life. And so many times we miss that mark. We get distracted by what's around us. It's glittery, but it's not worth being distracted by. And that one thing is to be in his presence now, all the way through eternity. That's the goal. That's the mindset. That's the destination. It's not necessarily a place. Sometimes we think we're going to go to heaven. But I submit to you, heaven is not about a place. It's about a person. That person we can live with now. He resides in those who love him and worship him. And eternity starts now. And as we have that perspective and we look towards, not towards what we have now, but towards the goal, which is when we see him face to face. When we see him face to face, it's not afar off anymore, but it's him and I bow before him. And that peace, that joy, that amazing experience that we will not experience here, we get to experience. How much of our life we try to find that experience here? We can't find it here. We're not meant to find it here. This place is to show us to look to him, to look afar off, isn't it? But if we have that in our minds, as things come up, as these things come up in our lives, right? Those things that trip us up, those things that make us kind of go to the right or to the left. If we have that in our minds, all of a sudden, the way we deal with those things is completely different. Because our goal is to be somewhere else. Our goal is to have God in our mind. Our goal is to have fellowship, friendship with God here. The psalmist understood that. We get to get a glimpse of that. And then we can let go of trying to be a perfect person here on earth. We can look forward to the perfect person. And as we continue to have our eyes on the perfect person, his Holy Spirit comes in us and perfects us day by day. It's not about us trying to live for the law. That just is useless. It's us living for him and him working in us and making us new. And then the world looks at us and goes, I want what he has. I want that God. That God has power to take a soul from loving himself to loving others, to caring about others when everybody else is fighting for their own way. That's the church. That is who we're supposed to be. Do we think like that? I have to be honest and say, the Lord has in the last 3 weeks had me really revisit my life and kind of reset my perspective. And I want to share that with you. And if it affects you, praise the Lord, let's run together. Philippians 3, 7 through 21. This is Paul speaking. I have a little sniffle. I'm sorry about that. But what things were gained to me, these things I have counted lost for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching toward forward to those things which are ahead, I press on to the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us as many as are mature have this mind. And if any of you think otherwise, God will God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in me. Join in following my example. So if you're wondering, well, that's Paul and he's an apostle. He should. Well, he says, brethren, that's you and I, join in. Join in following my example and note those who walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we eagerly wait? Are we eagerly waiting? Are we looking for that day where we see him face to face? This is a beautiful thing, and it changes everything, doesn't it? It changes everything. My life is not my own. It's been bought with a price. I'm telling you, it is so terrifying to say these things to you right now. Because you know why? What does the scripture say? Those who teach are held to a higher accountability. I'm putting myself out there right now. He's holding me to this. I want to be held to it. Praise the Lord, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able to even subdue all things to himself. That is amazing. He's transforming us. Let me ask us. I'm going to ask myself, is he transforming me? Is he changing me day by day? Am I being renewed or am I that same person? We're not talking about perfection. We're talking about direction. Where is my life headed? I really want us to just meditate on this, not worry about the clock, not worry about lunch. Just let's meditate on this and enjoy what God is doing. Luke 9, 22 through 26. Saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then he said to them, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. What shall it profit? For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his glory and in his Father's and the holy angels. How many of us live most of our lives trying to gain the world? I mean, really, let's just be honest. How many of us do that? Are we content with that? Is that what we want to continue doing? Again, I'm not telling you how to live. The scripture is just saying this should be our mind, and when we have this mind, that right life that he wants is going to flow through us. But when our mind is on all these other things that distract us, it clouds out what that mind that God wants for us. Is that true? Am I the only one that experiences this? Am I the only one unsettled with it? Am I the only one that doesn't want that anymore? I don't want that. I want to have my mind on the Lord. I want to go and press on. And I want to be one that wants to help people press on. And I want others to say, Kevin, come on, press on. There's an upward call that you have. There's a destination. All this stuff is just training ground. God is building character. Enjoy the process of character building. He's making you ready for the kingdom. What a perspective to have. Please don't look at me and say, wow, he's got this all figured. I'm reading this afresh right now with you. Trying to be as humble as I possibly can and go, Lord, I want to be changed. Psalm 27, 1 through 14. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? If the Lord is the strength of our life, does the strength come from us? Is this a thing where we just pull up our bootstraps and just grunt, you know? No. The Lord is my strength. That means I'm not strong. That means the Lord is strong. And I'm humbling and submitting to the Lord. The Lord is my strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked come against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against us, my heart shall not fear. Though war may arise against me, in this I will be confident. I think this heart right here, this next verse, this heart of the psalmist tells us a lot. And this is what I desire. So when all chaos is going all around him, he says, this one thing, I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. That's how he can say, though chaos is around me. Do you notice in James, it says, when we're tempted, think about that verse when he's talking about James 1. When I'm tempted, it's because I have a desire. And because I already have that desire, I fall. What would be, how amazing would it be if our desire, our one desire, that one thing that we seek after, was to behold the beauty of the Lord. That was the one thing that we sought. That's the one thing that we aimed for. Do you think that your life would look a little different? In what ways do you think that your life would be different? In what ways would my life be different? If that was my one desire, again, here's the beauty. If that's not my one desire right now, what has to happen? A heart change. That's it. Like, praise the Lord. I don't have to do a bunch of religious things to get right with God. I can just have godly sorrow and repentance that leads to the right path now. It's not about looking behind. We look behind to learn, but then we don't look back anymore. Okay, I don't want to do that. I want to go here now. That's repentance. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me on high, on a high rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, you, your face, O Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. You do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. What a beautiful verse this 13 is. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, wait on the Lord. It's that redirect. It's that redirect. The heart redirect, recentering. If our heart's kind of off, recenter it. I love this. I would have lost heart. Is there anybody here that's about to lose heart? You feel so weighed down right now. Like you don't know who or what to turn to. Are you in that place? This is what it says here. I would have lost heart unless I had believed. There is one who is intimately involved in your life, whether you see it or not. He cares deeply about you and your situation. And he wants to be the rock and that foundation that you stand on, that will not shake, that will not crumble. And he wants to take you safely home. And I want to make this so clear. This is not our home. We are pilgrims. We're just passing through. This is not the end. The best is yet to come. Right? But we live like this is our home. We make ourselves so comfortable. As if this is our dwelling place. This is not meant to be our dwelling place. This is our place that we serve the Lord. We learn his voice. We get to hear his voice. We learn his voice. By faith, we follow him. He changes our character and makes us new and fresh. He gives us an appetite for him so we can enjoy him forever. In his presence. Psalm 84, 1 through 12. Is it just me, or does this get you like a, wow, this is exciting. Here's the deal. When we move out of this place, real world's going to happen. And that's where faith kicks in. You're still going to go back to your job. You're still going to go back to school. You're still going to be with the people that you're with, right? But now you have a direction. Now you have a reason. Psalm 84, 1 through 12. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Our God is living. He is not dead. He's not asleep. He is alive. He lives with us. He is with us. If he is with us, who can be against us? Let's live like that. And let's just let this dwell into the very core of our being. And not be surface. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. That is the word, the last prime month, that keeps coming to my mind. I cannot shake it. And it seems to be a reminder, Kevin, you are on a pilgrimage. This is not meant to be a safe place. This is meant to be a battleground. You are not meant to be comfortable here. Now, what I am not saying is that you don't have responsibilities. What I am not saying is that you don't work and you just, no. What I'm saying is as you occupy, your mind is set on pilgrimage. As you work, your work is not to store up for yourself. Your work is to represent God Almighty. And be the best you can possibly be. And be a voice to those around you. And to love those that are very hard to love. As you occupy. We're here. He's not called us out of the world. He called us not to be part of it. But he did not bring us out of the world. He's asked us to have a different perspective and a different desire than what the world has. And I'm telling you, he withholds no good thing to his kids, right? He knows best. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Even each one appears before God in Zion. The Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. The Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Are we there? Are we at that point? Are we matured to a point where we see past all the things that used to distract us, where we see past all the things that held us captive, and we look past all that and we see this beautiful God, this risen Savior? He actually rose from the dead. He's not in the grave. He's seated on the throne. He's interceding right now for his children. And he's put us here in our families, in our area we live, for a purpose. And that's not to store up treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy. It's to store up treasure in heaven. And that is to be his vehicle, his hands and feet in whatever God has gifted us in. He's not made us all the same. He's made us different. And he wants us all to use the gifts that he's given us for his glory. Praise the Lord. Psalm 11, 8 through 16. I just want to pray before we move on. Lord, as we continue on, refresh us, revive us. Give us that glimpse of who you are. Give us that one desire, that trumps everything else. That one desire to seek your face, to know you, to understand you, to fellowship with you, to have communion with you, to walk with you, to enjoy you. Lord, as we are here and we're thinking about all these things, Lord, I just pray that you would cause us to receive your peace and your joy right now. That peace, that joy, knowing that though even if our world is falling apart and everything around us is falling apart and it doesn't look like there's going to be any change anytime soon, Lord, that we could see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, that we could see you high and lifted up, resurrected, and that we could look to that day that we get to see you face to face, where our bodies will be changed. We will have no more pain, no sorrow, for the former things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. And we would hang on to that, Lord. And you would give us endurance to battle through, Lord. That you would give us joy through it, Lord. That you'd give us peace and comfort through it, Lord. Pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Hebrews 11, 8 through 16. Before this, there's just a list of these men and women of faith and what they endured. And all these endured all this thing without seeing it. They saw it afar off. And so we catch up to Abraham here in verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He actually lived in the land of promise as though he was waiting for this building, this city, this house that was built by God. He chose to dwell in a tent. I just thought that was so interesting. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashores. Now listen to this. This last part is so powerful. After all these people, we hear about all these people of faith. These all died in faith, having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind the country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. It wasn't like they couldn't look back. They didn't look back. And how often do we look back? How often do we start going and then all of a sudden we just find ourselves looking back? But let us declare plainly that we are looking for a homeland. If we first, us as believers, we need to lay hold of this. This is a requirement. This is not like